From Boca Raton, Florida, this is Behind the Bema. On this episode, the rabbis are joined by Dr. Jonathan Doneff, founder of Daily Giving. Dr. Doneff discusses how Daily Giving got its start, shares the impact of giving over $10,000 a day, and explains how we can all get involved. Also, Yeshiva of South Florida opens its doors. Plus, Rabbi Brody orders some new shirts, and an old friend stops by for a special appearance. All this and more Behind the Bema.
Good evening. It's Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. I am Rabbi Ephraim Gober, joined by my dear friend and colleague, Rabbi Josh Brody, and we are here to take you
behind the Bema.
We're going to take you behind the Bema. Great to be back together again after a little hiatus, a little break. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And it is great to be together again. Exciting guest tonight, a friend, Dr. Jonathan Doneff, who's really a visionary, who created something extraordinary. Daily Giving, which has been a partner of BRS. We don't receive money, but a partner enabling us in our one-on-one campaign. Rabbi Moskowitz to talk about the meaning and the beauty of that. But Rabbi Brody, talk to us. How have been these last few weeks while we have been off?
You know, it's funny. I know you joke with me every year and you're like, you get back, you say it's going to be the best year ever. But let me tell you something. I've never had a better, more invigorating summer. I feel like a new man. I feel like this is going to be it. Major changes. Big things are coming.
Big changes. Okay. Yeah, exciting. What is the source of that? Is it, do you see people? Is it just getting out of Dodge, getting out of town? Is it davening elsewhere? Nobody knows you. Do you read or listen to things or learn?
Yeah, definitely not reading. I'm listening. I'm in the middle of
a
book right now.
What is it that changes you, that gives you that mindset or that switch that you come back? And you go from being burnt out, I'm tired, I'm out, I'm done.
I'm retired.
This is going to be, how do you go from I'm done to this is going to be the best year ever?
So I can tell you, I think we all have that inside of us. I think that there's something, it just, maybe it's a message you hear. It could be just, you know, you speak between Mincha Maariv, all of a sudden, something just clicks. And I'm like, that's it. And then it just leads you down a path. And I think that the biggest challenge that we all have is that we're afraid to take that next step. And sometimes just do it. It's not what you expect. And then all of a sudden you're like in a different world.
Right.
I can't even tell you right now what's going on. I mean, it's crazy. I'm loving davening. It feels like more invigorating than I've ever felt. I'd say in the last 20 plus years, I've never felt closer in my davening. I don't know. I've never felt closer in just what I'm doing. And you know, it's like you struggle also with that imposter syndrome. You know, people looking at you is like, who is this guy think he is? And the Merci Kiyura you spoke about last night, you know, and I'm just trying to be myself. I'm just trying to fit into something which I feel is comfortable. And I'm feeling.
Well, I want to tell you, maybe this is an appropriate venue. Maybe it's inappropriate to say, but I just want to tell you how proud I am. It's, you know, I've known you a long time. And of course, you're a legit rabbi and you've been one of our team. But, you know, when I took a break this summer, you really stepped in and stepped up. And whether giving drushas, classes, playing a pastoral rabbinic role. And, you know, our community's always viewed you as the outreach rabbi. So kind of dresses cool, acts cool, laid back, more relatable, fun loving. And you literally and figuratively put on a suit and tie every day.
In fact,
while I was away, I got a text from someone that says, Rabbi Brody's wearing a suit and tie to shul every day. He looks like a bar mitzvah boy. So, but you really-
Someone's been taking a picture of him and sending it to my mom every day.
It's great. But between the learning that you're doing on your own and stepping into that role, it's really been great to see and we've benefited. So thank you for that.
And I tell you, you know, I think it's a combination of so many things. And again, it's trying to do the daf and I don't understand the daf every day, but I'm trying. And it's like, you know, you're already in davening. So if you're already there, just try and make a difference. And you know, sometimes it's just listening to the messages that you either say you, right. Or maybe I even speak to people. And it's realizing the power of tefillah. Like it really works. Like the reason we're showing up is because we really believe in it. So if we're already there, so let's make the most of it. Let's talk to God. And I can tell you without question every day. And I'm telling you, you try this. And you, meaning all the audience out there, talk to God, talk to Hashem, talk to Kaddish Baruch Hu, whatever you want to call God. Just talk to and ask for things and thank God. And it's things change.
I'll tell you two quick things. And then we've got a very special opportunity. But one is, you know, we meet once a month, our Beis Din for conversions. We met with candidates today. And, you know, again, I would never disclose anything, but we met with a couple where they're both non-Jewish. They're converting as a family. She was eager and ready and interested years and years and years ago, but her husband wasn't. And she knew she couldn't come until they were both ready. And now he is, and he's sincere. And you know he's sincere because he waited. He didn't come until he was ready. So she says, you don't understand how much, it's many years. She, you don't understand how many years I prayed. She said, I prayed to God every day that he want this as much as I, that he's open to it, that he's willing. And he answered my prayers. My husband changed. Like you come back, you know, again, something flips a switch. You know, that's one thing. I'll tell you the other thing we talk about, you know, are you coming tomorrow night, 9 p.m. to Boca Beach? Tonight, 9 p.m. behind the Bima, Thursday night, Boca Beach. We do every year Hespodidus. We're going to learn a little piece from Rav Nachman, and then we scatter along the beach. Have a bucket. Everybody puts their phone in. Just go talk to God. Just go talk. You talk, you know, the sitter sometimes can hold us back because we're all caught up in the words. But when you set aside the words and you just listen to the waves and you see the stars and you just talk to him, unburden yourself, you could complain. You could criticize. You could protest. You could express gratitude. You could thank. But, you know, just go unburden. So I hope you're going to come tomorrow night, 9 p.m., Boca Beach.
I'll be there. You know, and just thinking about some of the things you've been speaking about the last few weeks, right? Talking about Hashem Sosai Tiftach, walking back and forth, the beginning of a bracha. We just actually started in Simon Hay, I think it was, in Shulchan Aruch, just what you're supposed to think about when you say the word Baruch and Atah, Hashem, Elokeinu, right? What are the, it's 5 minutes you could spend just in the first three words.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's
amazing.
Well, one of our prayers is answered because we have been longing and missing and desperate to have our friend Rabbi Moskowitz back. Everybody misses you and loves you, Rabbi. Just, we know that we can only get a couple minutes with you tonight, but just to see your face and just to be reunited, even just for a moment, is a answer to our heartfelt prayer. So it is great, great, great to see you.
Well, it's great to see you guys. Great to be back on. I couldn't pass up on this opportunity to speak about daily giving and about the amazing work of Dr. Donath before the interview. And, you know, you mentioned this Hespodidus. Do you remember the first time we did it at the beach? Do you remember where we had people put their phones? We brought the toolbox from the shul kitchen.
That's right.
We had to dump out, we had to dump out the stuff from the toolbox. We brought the toolbox from the shul kitchen. People thought we were nuts.
That's so funny.
Because they didn't actually think we'd make them put in their phones.
That's right.
And we went to the beach. It was late at it. We locked it up.
we locked it up.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry.
Remember that the problem was when we came back, everybody scrambled to figure out which was their phone.
That was powerful.
So Rabbi Moskowitz, talk to us about Dr. Donath and daily giving, what it means to you, our campaign, and why you wanted to, even though it's not easy, to join us tonight, at least for a couple minutes.
Well, you know, obviously the interview will speak for itself, and he's an incredible person. We happen to be mishpacha. We happen to be related. And so I've known Dr. Donath for many years. And I remember when he spoke about this idea in its infancy. He spoke about it when he was just starting out. And I remember he was really hustling. It was not easy to get people to sign up at the beginning. It was not easy to get people to buy into the vision and to the mission. And he was literally going person to person. I remember bumping into him. I think it was at an APAC policy conference.
Yeah.
And he was literally going person to person, trying to get each individual to sign up and to think, you know, over the last number of years of where he's come and where the organization's come and the contributions that he's able to make and the way he's professionalized it. It's just amazing. And, you know, I was thinking as I was getting on, it's just a testament to like what one regular Jew can do, what one regular individual who's a doctor, who's a father, who's, you know, just like every one of our listeners. And he had this idea and he's been like living and breathing it for the last number of years. And with a lot of tenacity, he's brought it to fruition. It's really incredible.
It is. And it's making a huge difference. And we'll learn and hear more about that and the data. And it gave us an outlet, as we've all been thinking about SD and davening. It gave us the vehicle to be able to tell people, here's something you can do.
And that also, I give him all the credit. You know, as you know, Rabbi Goldberg, I was, you know, we were a little reticent about to do anything. Should we do something? Should we not do something? And you were really pushing it. And we were kind of hovering around a number of ideas. And it was really Dr. Donath who approached us with the idea of partnering with Daily Giving and starting this one-on-one campaign. And I can't tell you, you know, for, on a personal level, I know for my family what it means to us, every single individual. I know you say this on the show every week. But here I am in the flesh to tell people from us just how much it means to us. Every time someone signs up for the learning, for the giving, what a difference it makes to us, to our outlook, to just feeling the love of our community. And I use our community in the broadest sense of the word, the American community, the international community, everyone of the listeners who signs up. It really, it just, it lifts our spirits and makes such an enormous and huge difference. And we dive in, we hope that it makes an impact far greater than that, both on Esty and on others. You know, he sent me a text this week of someone who had impacted, and you know, I just daven that in the zchus and the merit of everyone giving tzedakah and joining together as a community to affect change, that it should just create enormous yeshuos and nechamos for everyone around the world.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. And it's so easy to do. And there's, you know, there's almost no excuse. Everyone has 1 minute a day to learn it. Everyone has $1 a day to give. I know we don't take for granted. Not everybody has so many resources and funds, but $1 a day we have. And this is something that you could do for someone that we love and a family that we love and beyond. Like you said, oh, Holy Israel, really for everyone who needs anything to,
right.
If you're in a position that you could dedicate a minute a day to learn and $1 a day to give, then be grateful for the fact that you're in that position and express that gratitude by doing things in the merit of others. So you can do it, dailygiving.org or brsonline.org/1and1, brsonline.org/1and1, and you can join that. And I know, you know it's meaningful to you.
Let's push it over the $11,000 mark tonight. Tomorrow morning, let's check out an $11,000 daily donation.
What do you mean? 12,000.
12,000. Let's rock through 12,000 right now.
No way. I'll tell you, Rabbi Moskowitz, on a lighter note, we have an update. I'm almost tempted to play the breaking news right now. But,
let's do it.
You know, I mentioned that before that Rabbi Brody's grown up a lot this summer. He's now wearing a suit and tie and dressing like a professional. So he had to go order some more dress shirts. And what brand dress shirt? We've spoken on this show before. You know, Rabbi Brody might officially be in the yeshivish now, actually, now that he's wearing this shirt. What do you think he's wearing?
Charles, I can't pronounce it.
Charles Turwitt.
Charles Turwitt. Now is when Donny Oppenheimer texts us that we're mispronouncing it. But Charles something with a T.
Charles something.
I got it.
Did you order your size? No.
See, they don't have my size because the problem is the sleeve length. They always like the standard, 15 or 14 and a half, whatever neck is 32, 33. But always the shirt sleeves are always way too long. So they'll cut it
for you, by the way.
So I'm like, well, how do I know what my real size is? So they said, well, measure from the back here, the middle of your neck down to your arm. So I measured my shirts. And I got two different options, 29.5 and a 30. I think they're both a little short, but it's okay.
I'll tell you a little fact nobody knows. I don't think I ever told my wife. I'm a late bloomer. When I was a bar mitzvah, I was a short little nothing kid. And same problem, right? My bar mitzvah shirt, the problem was the sleeves didn't match everything else.
Right. So
my parents got a tailor. That like created like a whatever to lift my sleeve. It was like a cuff in my shirt to lift the shirt up because, you know, you're growing that. All, not everybody's right. growing the same proportion, length. Rate, right. sleeves, the length or whatever. So.
Well, I will leave our talking on a lighter note. I will leave our listeners with this. A few years ago, Rabbi Goldberg was on a sabbatical and he needed to get something from his house. He needed a hard drive from his house. Oh, so he said, who can I trust to go to the house and to not snoop around too much? So he sent me over. And I went into your house, I got the hard drive, and you needed me to get something off the hard drive. So I went onto the computer, I'm looking through the hard drive, and all of a sudden I see Ephraim Bar Mitzvah pictures or something. So I'm like, oh, this is good.
Let's
just say, if anyone wants, I have a video of Rabbi Goldberg laning his Bar Mitzvah Parsha. I think I have that in a
Bible. Not on Shabbos. I laned on Shabbos. No, this Rosh Chodesh Chanukah also. That
Rosh Chodesh Chanukah. I have a video of a very small, high, squeaky voice. Rabbi, well, you weren't Rabbi at the time, but I'll call you Rabbi Goldberg, who was laning his bar mitzvah parsha. That'll be for another time on Behind the Beam.
The next global campaign.
The next
very
global campaign.
Very high voice.
When we need to get over that like big mark at the next global campaign,
right?
Whoever gets us over that mark is going to get that video.
$1 million.
Before Rabbi Moskowitz, before we let you go, and we appreciate your time and joining us. We know it's not easy and it means the world to us and to all the people who are so happy to see you. I want your take on the following question before I let you go. So we were on a family trip this summer. We're on a hike in a beautiful destination. And one of my kids recognizes a celebrity. This is an actress who's in, what are the thick books? The woman from England? Fantasy.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Come on. What's the book series?
I'm not a fan of those shows, just for the record.
What's the book? The thick book every little kid reads.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings or something.
Richest woman in England. Come on.
Harry Potter.
So an actress from Harry Potter, Emma Watson. I'm not trying to sound like from right now. I happen to have heard of her. Fine. So one of my kids who loves Harry Potter goes over, asks for a picture. She says, no, sweetie, I don't take pictures, but thank you. Fine. I don't begrudge her for that. She's entitled to be there. It happens to be this actress has posted online Free Palestine and subscribed to a sort of anti-Israel there are some headlines whether her advocacy for Palestine is anti-Israel, but there's questions about her being anti-Israel. So I wanted to go up to her and say to her, Emma, enjoy this beautiful hike. You're in a beautiful place. Have your vacation. I don't want to bother you. You really should educate yourself on Israel. Your views are not fair. That's it. Not interrupt, not stalk, not take picture, not lecture about Israel. Wish her well. Enjoy your time here. But kind of protest. Just make it known. You really need to educate yourself on Israel. And my kids went, she deserves privacy. She deserves to be on vacation. Can't she be left alone? Don't go up to her. They wouldn't let me go up to her. Fine. What's your take? I believe if you've made millions of dollars and you have millions of followers online where you can make political statements all because you're a public figure, so you've sort of lost your right to privacy. Nobody should harass you. You're right. Entitled to vacation, but you know that people don't have to pretend they don't know who you are, given everything you have is because everyone knows who you are. Rabbi Moskowitz, what's your take?
I think we say a bracha every single morning that says, Ameichi mitzah de'gaver, that Hashem places us in certain situations. That's where we're supposed to be. I think if Hashem wanted you to bump into Emma Watson, it's because you were there to deliver a message. And I think that if you do it respectfully and you give her a quick out, I think if you can deliver it in 1 minute or less, you go for it.
I love it. You're with me. Well, Emma, if you're listening, you need to educate yourself. You need to educate yourself.
And she should join Daily Giving.
And Daily Giving and the 101 campaign. Rabbi Moskowitz, thank you for joining us. It really means the world. We can't wait to welcome you back regularly and permanently in good health and happiness.
Amen.
Everybody, amen. All together. Thank you so, so much for being with us for a little bit tonight.
Good to see you guys.
Oh,
wow. It was amazing to be together.
Yeah.
Miss him like crazy. I know that everybody watching or listening, particularly the members of Boca Raton Synagogue right now, feel like just to see his face.
Yeah.
Just to spend a moment. Just to hear his voice. Just to feel his energy is, you know, sorely missed. And it is great. It is great to see him. Really, really great to see him. So we want to hear Jonathan Donoff. We'll bring him on in a minute. Just, we'll talk about afterwards. After the interview, we'll talk about the opening week of Yeshiva South Florida.
Big week.
It's here. It's real. It has started and it is super exciting. Super exciting. We'll just mention, you and I just came from an event. Get Out the Vote event, Teach Florida OU, really pushing people to get out the vote. Voting really, really matters to advance the policies we want. You know the answer because you were just in the room, unless you were talking.
The biggest donor.
The biggest donor. Schools. Yeah.
Right. I heard
you. Our listeners may not know. The state of Florida gives, are you ready for this drum roll, please? State of Florida gives $50 million a year to Jewish education. There's nobody giving.
We should take buses
a small percent of that.
We should take buses up to Tallahassee and just to say thank you. We're not
state of
advocating.
Florida is the
we're just
largest,
to say thank you.
Largest right. Supporter of Jewish education, but that's the result of Teach Florida, of the OU, of advocacy, of Get Out the Vote. You know, we have free will, we have choice, and our vote shapes our destiny and our policies. And don't be fatalistic on the things that you care about. And this is a political show, but on the things that you care about, Israel. Tuition, safety, anti-Semitism, then just don't just complain and kvetch about it.
Right.
Get involved. Hold the elected leaders accountable. Get the right people elected. Because when this process started, Teach Florida, people were so cynical. You remember we had the founder, a non-Jewish guy who started the whole thing, not for Jews, but the scholarship program for Florida. Yeah. He spoke in the shul and everyone was cynical. This will never trickle down. This will never help us. This will never really make a difference. It's not going to solve anything with tuition. Millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Right. You're never going to raise $11,000 a day for Jewish charities, right? It's never going to
exactly.
Happen.
And that is a common theme because that's what we're going to hear in a moment. There's voices. We're doing a campus expansion. There's always voices of negativity, pessimism, not going to happen. And you shudder to think, what if those voices were there when the Panovich Rav had the dream of Panovich, or when Rav Amital had the dream of Haratzion, or when there was the dream of a state of Israel? Or when the original Boca Raton Synagogue was built, much bigger than the amount of families there were. What if there were those voices of negativity and pessimism? Where would we be? Thank God there are the people who see through it, fight through it, climbed over and around and through it. People like Dr. Jonathan Donath, who fought through and fights through and is doing amazing things. And it really is a pleasure to bring him on. Without any further ado, What an honor and a privilege it is to be joined by our dear friend, Dr. Jonathan Donath. Thank you so much. The founder of dailygiving.org, which is a website and an effort that is literally transforming the Jewish world. You're one of our heroes. Jonathan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about how you dreamt of it, how you got this started. So many people have dreams and ideas, but they die quickly. I had a good friend just tell me about an idea and a website he bought, but we'll see whether he actually follows through and does anything, anything with it. I'm not going to say who it is. But you actually, you not only got it done, you're making an enormous difference. We have so much we want to talk about. But let's start from the beginning. Let's learn a little bit about you. You're a chiropractor, White Plains, New York. 2018, you had this idea. But tell us before 2018, where'd you grow up? What's your background? Help our listeners understand a little about who you are that put you in this position to build this beautiful program.
Sure. Thank you. You know, before I talk about myself, I just want to say, I don't think I ever told this to Rebbe, but I finished the cycle of Daf Yomi, not this past one, but the one before. And it was very, very, very difficult as Josh, as you know, Rebbe Brody, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult to do every day. And, I remember when I finished, I felt so good and so accomplished that I did the cycle. In fact, my brother got married in St. Louis the morning after the Siyum HaShas. And I was like, I'm not missing the Siyum HaShas. So I flew the morning of his wedding because I didn't want to miss
it.
And I called my brother, as you know, is a pulpit rabbi. He's a Shul Rabbi in Fairlawn, New Jersey, Rabbi Jeremy Donath. And I told him, I said, I don't think I could do the Daf Yomi again. I'll take a cycle off. But I said, I loved learning every day and I want to keep learning every day. So Is there a particular shiur, a Rebbe, someone that you can recommend that I listen to? This is like, we're talking 10 years ago. And he said, yes, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg.
Yes, there is.
And, oh, wow. And I started listening to Rebbe Shiurim about 10 years ago on YU Torah. And to this day, I listen to Siddur snippets on the way to work. And so I just have a tremendous amount of Hakar Satov for all the Torah that I learned from you. And it's a tremendous pleasure to be here.
For the record, I thought you were going to say MDY, but...
I did not know that story. And it's important for our listeners to know I did not know that story because you were not invited on as a guest just so you could tell that story because I didn't even know that story beforehand. You're invited on because the truth is, I should have said this in the introduction too, right? We find ourselves in the month of Elul and we're getting ready for Rosh Hashanah, Yamim Noraim, high holidays, and we're going to recite Tshuva Tfila Utztaka, Mavir Nesrogzer. We have the prescription. We got the formula. You know how you persevere, you endure, you triumph. All of us want to be signed and sealed for all the blessing in the world. There's a formula. It's a formula. Sincere prayer, personal transformation, charity. So we've got right now the biggest game changer of charity in the Jewish world. We've got the opportunity to talk to you. So tell us again. Tell us your background, where you grew up. Give us a little bit behind Jonathan Donath.
I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Very proud Minnesotan. And I had a wonderful upbringing. My parents are amazing. I have three siblings, you know, my brother, and I have an older sister and a younger sister. And it was great. I went to a Jewish day school called Torah Academy. There was no Jewish high school in Minneapolis at the time. So I went to Skokie Yeshiva for 4 years, and I dormed in Skokie and had a wonderful experience at the Yeshiva. Spent a year and a half then in Mivaseret, which had a wonderful time there. And then went to YU and had... great time at YU, and I was pre-med, and I was deciding what to do, and I was a counselor at Camp Hask. Originally, I was going to go into business, and then being a counselor at Camp Hask changes a lot of things, and after spending 7 weeks helping special needs children, I decided I wanted to be a doctor, and I wanted to help people with my life. And
Let me interrupt you for 1 second, just to say, you know, we've had Rav Judah Michel on, and we're a big Camp Hask family and Camp Hask podcast, but I think it's such an important point, because who knows? And there's almost no way of tracking how working in Camp Hask changed the trajectory of so many people's lives and put them in a different direction, made them better mothers and fathers and husbands and wives, changed the trajectory professionally, career path, all because of that summer of giving, not even of getting. It's not like, I had a great summer. I got so much. I partied. I toured. It's a summer of selfless giving. And you're one example. And I just wanted to interrupt to say that because Camp Hask deserves so much credit in that.
Met their spouse?
Yeah. I did 2 summers. My wife, we were already dating. She did the second summer. So people think we're a Hask couple or pseudo Hask couple. We were already dating. But yeah. Yeah. But Hask is incredible. In fact, I had the privilege to go back just a few weeks ago, and I spoke in front of all the counselors about daily giving. This is like the third time I've gotten to go back and speak to all the counselors. And it's amazing. I feel like I'm sitting there talking to the future leaders of the Jewish people.
It's amazing.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's fast forward. You're a chiropractor. You're treating people. You're changing lives. You're healing. And what happens? You wake up one day and you say, "We got to have a better way to give charity."
I felt like I had already. I'm one of those people. I actually thought I knew what my top kid in life was. You know, I help people get out of pain. I think that, you know, I feel very blessed that Hashem gave me these skills, and I'm able to help people. And people come in crying in pain. I'm able to get them out of pain, not surgically, and they love it. It's very rewarding. And I thought I get to make a Kiddush Hashem every day. Like 95% of my patients aren't Jewish, and they'll tell me, "Well, I'm the only Jew they ever met." Some of them, you know, so. It's just an amazing thing that I was doing, and I felt so good about it. And I was like, wow, I know my Tafkid. It's such a great feeling. And then one day I was minding my own business. I went to Marav one night in my shul. I had just listened to a shiur about how even small mitzvahs matter. And I put a dollar in the tzedakah box like we always do. And I just had this like epiphany moment that like popped into my head that no matter how much money I get to tzedakah, I still get a mitzvah for this $1. So I was like, how can I guarantee myself a mitzvah every day for a dollar of tzedakah? I want to make sure I give every single day. I remember as a child, my mom giving me a penny, a nickel to go to school to put in the tzedakah box. Like, what happened to that? We all give, but we don't necessarily give every day.
Right.
And so I remember like being so excited, probably didn't have the best one yesterday. I was literally so excited to go home and start Googling. And I went home and I could not find an organization that was doing this. So I immediately called up my website guy who does my business website. I said, "Shaul, what do you think of this idea?" He says, "Love it." I said, "Could you build me a website?" He says, "Absolutely." I called up my other, you know, best friend, Shlomo Ressler, Rabbi Rami Strasberg, and I said, "What do you guys think?" "Love it." So we started meeting at our houses. We started becoming a 501c3 and started getting the ball rolling. And I had this idea that if I could get Rabbi Pesach Kron to talk about daily giving the way he speaks about Torah anytime, I'm like, I'm going to blow this thing up. So I get Rabbi Pesach Kron's number and I call him up and my heart's beating out of my chest. And like the voice of Torah anytime picks up the phone and I'm like, "Hello." I was like, my mouth was like dry. So anyway, I talked to Rabbi Cronin and I told him the idea. He said, "This is a great idea. No one's doing it." I said, "Rabbi, no one's doing it." So he says, "Okay, we have to get a rabbinical council together because, you know, people have to know that the money's not going to your college fund." And I said, "That's a good idea." And so so we did. And we got Rav Herschel Schechter to be on the rabbinical council with Rabbi Cronin and my Rebbe in White Plains, Rav Shmuel Greenberg, and Rav Moshe Tuvia Leaf. And we were off and running. And the idea at first was just to try and guarantee oneself, you know, a mitzvah every day for a dollar. But what's transformed is so many different things, like the achdus we're creating. Like we have Jews from all over the world, from 34 different countries giving a dollar a day together.
Wow.
We're about to hit $11,000 a day.
I know. I'm waiting. Every day I check.
Give us some of the data. Give us some of the stats. Fast forward. You're a chiropractor, family. And you have an idea at Marav one night. The best ideas, by the way, come when you're davening or in the shower. Basically, when you can't be on your phone is when you have the best ideas. So you have this great idea. And fast forward, how long ago? That was 2018, correct?
It was 2018, probably around like May or June. And then we went live with the website on January 1st, 2019. We figured it took a while to get everything going. And just for tax purposes, since you're going to accept money, better start January 1st, you know. And we went live January 1st, 2019. So it's been a little over 3.5 years, and we've already given out almost $6 million, and
wow.
And we're about wow. Any day now we're going to hit the point where now we're giving $4 million a year out. Yeah, we're at 3.
I've been following. It's amazing. Yeah. What was that first day? You know, did you get $10 the first day? Was there $100? What was like?
It's a good question. So we actually just we updated the website. It used to have a calendar. It's going to be back there. So anyone who looks, give it a few, we're going to have the calendar back on. But what was amazing is our calendar. You could go back since the first day and it'll be back there. And you could check every single month from the first day who got the money every single day and how much. And so it's not on the website anymore, but it was there. It was like, I think we got like 80 people to sign up the first day because I sent it to everyone I knew. Right. And then the next day and the next day. And then to be honest, I was surprised because in the 6 months leading up to it, I was so excited. I remember that Yamin Noraim of 2018 being so excited to go live because everyone loved the idea and we were getting the website ready. And I thought we'd have like 10,000 people in the first couple of months. And it was a rude awakening that there was only a few hundred people after the first couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, like, I didn't want a day to go by where no one signed up. So like, it's like if 10 o'clock at night came and no one had signed up, I started calling people. And I didn't want a day to go by that, you know, it didn't grow. So I would call people and harass people and, you know, and then they thanked me. And that's how it started going really slowly. Yeah. And then different things kind of ballooned and COVID happened. And COVID in some ways probably helped us because people didn't have that daily reminder in shul to give a dollar. So that helped. And then, you know, then we started getting Rabbanim and speakers and influencers to speak about us. And that was a game changer. You know, just
so again, give us some of the data. So today, how many people are signed up on daily giving? How much money are you giving out? Yeah, I know you referenced it, but if you could repeat how much you're giving out, you know, a month or a year and a day. And is it really given out daily? I mean, that's an inefficient way for you to actually give out money in
good
checks.
Question.
So how is it really given out, and how is it really collected? Is it really daily, or the daily is the concept, but it's done more efficiently by batching it?
Okay, great questions. I'll try to remember all the answers. So firstly, we can't hit someone's credit card for a dollar every day, because the transaction fee alone would be 30 cents. That would be a very big waste of money. So we give two choices when you go to dailygiving.org. You could sign up for $31 a month or $365 a year. We pass on the credit card fee to our consumers, our givers. We call them daily givers. So that 100 cents of every dollar every day goes to the tzedakah. We don't take anything, by the way. We don't take a penny. 100 cents of every dollar goes to the tzedakah organizations. So that's first of all. So in terms of giving every day, we're your shaliach. You know, every day I hit the button on my phone. I have the tzedakahs right. Who's giving? I put in the amount, you know, from the bank account. I put in the tzedakah, and I send off that money every single day.
It's really distributed. It's really given out daily.
It's given out daily. But you know, the way Chase works is like, you know, you hit that button, it like takes five business days. So
No, but I'm saying, when you say that every day you're giving this organization, it's not that you write one check a year, you just divided it up like it's every day. You're actually giving it out daily.
Correct. Right. Let me clarify you, right? Some people might not understand. Every single day we give the entire amount to a different organization. Okay. So I was busy with patients. I didn't see what today, who I think today is Yad Ezra V'Shulamit.
Yes.
Because yesterday was Yad Ezra. So yesterday, I think we gave 10,900 something yesterday. And I know the number was, I think, $20 more today than yesterday. So it went up $20, 20 new givers since yesterday. That's a difference. Sometimes we get a few, sometimes we get less, more or less, whatever. But that's what happened. Every day, different tzedakah gives. As of right now, we have 58 different organizations that are getting the money. So every single day, a different organization gets. And then after 58 days, it repeats. So they're getting a little over six times a year. Now, the hope is that as we grow bigger and bigger and bigger, we're going to add more organizations. So to this point, we've added once a year, and we're getting ready to add our next batch. We've had over 500 organizations reach out to us this year trying to get onto daily giving. That is by far the most difficult aspect of this. That's a
How do you decide? How do you decide?
Hold on, before you decide. So how many are giving right now?
Okay, so we have, some people give more than a dollar a day. I'm going to say anecdotally, I'd say 85 to 90% of people give a dollar a day. And then the other 10, 15% give more than a dollar a day. A lot of people sign up for a dollar a day for everyone in their family. I know I do. And it's an amazing, amazing way to teach your children about tzedakah. We'll talk about that in one of my stories. I want to tell you later about that. But it's an incredible, like, you know, you can't tell your young children about a check you wrote to even Hask, whatever else. You can't tell them, you know, they don't understand. They're like, well, you wrote this check? You're a millionaire? No, I'm not a millionaire. You know, but you can tell them about a dollar a day, and you sign them up, and they get the daily emails. I didn't mention that. Rabbi Brody mentioned it, but alluded to it. But one of the things we think is our special sauce is that the daily email. Every single day, you get an email telling you where your money went that day, and a blurb about that organization. And so you feel like you're a part of something, and you see it grow, and you feel it grow. I have one really close friend who's a CEO of a big company, and he told me at first, he's like, Jonathan, I'm not signing up if you send me any emails. I was like, give it 1 week. Get the email for 1 week.
Right.
And he tells me it's the only email he makes a check to every day. Every single day he checks it. He loves getting it because he feels like it's a part of something. He's like, even on a bad day, I know I did something good today.
So close to 11,000 people have signed up, which enables you to give out $11,000 a day to 50-something organizations, repeating six times a year. And the more people who give, the more money there is, the more they can give out. Now, here's the critical question. How much do you take? What's the overhead to run this organization?
So at first, we just covered it, a couple of friends, we covered it, and then it got bigger and bigger. So again, we take nothing. Daily giving doesn't take a penny from the tzedakah. So when people sign up for a dollar a day, none of those dollars go to daily giving. But I do have one full-time person and several growing part-time staff. And we do, so for example, we want to get the word out. We're just starting. We want to get to $100,000 a day and then $200,000 a day. So there is some marketing involved. We do, you know, social media marketing and other different things and other opportunities we get. And so we do pay certain things. All that I fundraise for completely separately. I have a very, very wonderful board of trustees that have come on to help. And and other givers. And yeah, but if anyone hears this and wants to, loves what we're doing, it's the best ROI you've ever, from a philanthropy standpoint, because we're getting other Jews to give tzedakah, right? So, you know, when someone signs up for a dollar a day, we have a very, very high retention rate. Most people stay month after month, year after year, we're seeing, right? They really like love being a part of it. So for $1, for you know, the cost of marketing to get more people to sign up, we're having other Jews give what hopefully will be thousands of dollars over time, because a dollar a day over time adds up.
Let's go back to Rabbi Brody's question. I know that when I saw it and it was happening, and you and I have been in touch for a while, I said, great, you know, we're doing some decent stuff here at Boker Ton Synagogue. We got Shiurim classes, podcasts that you mentioned, our Biras Global campaign. We're not only a local shul, we're trying to have a bigger influence beyond our geography, but we didn't qualify, which we're still good friends. Tell us why. Why didn't we qualify? How do you choose who qualifies?
So part of our criteria is that we have, that we use national, international organizations, because at the end of the day, and you're right, it's difficult, because in some ways you are a global organization. Your Torah does reach lots of places and globally. It's no, you know, I know as someone in New York who's been consuming BRS stuff, and I read the BRS shul flyer, and I've been consuming the Torah for many years, right? The problem is that when I have people sign up from the Philippines or Omaha, Nebraska, right? Like, we try very hard to put ourselves in the shoes of our daily givers. Daily giving is not just Flatbush and Lakewood and Passaic and Teaneck, right? It's people from all over the world.
Right.
So we try to pick organizations, national and international organizations, that people, you know, can feel like they're a part of, that they can be helped by. We don't give to local shuls. We don't give to local even like a local hospital. I mean, we were reached out to by many different hospitals in Israel. Like, it's difficult. You know, it's really difficult, but we try to keep it on that national or international level.
Do you know the demographics of your givers? Jews, non-Jews, Orthodox, non-Orthodox, yeshivish, modern, men, women?
We don't ask, you know, for obviously, you know, we don't ask. And we try to make it so easy so that when someone signs up, in literally 30 seconds from the time they get to the website to the checkout, they're done. In 30 seconds, they're giving a dollar a day, and they get a mitzvah every day forever. So we don't ask those questions. I say anecdotally, because I see every single person who comes in, where every person's from, I would say, you know, the vast majority, over 95%, are Orthodox. I've had several patients that see on my email, like, this, what's that, by the way, what's that daily giving thing that you're running? And I tell them, and I've had lots of non-Jewish patients sign up. I don't broadcast it, but they like it. I've been at conferences with other doctors who are Jewish, and I tell them Reform. I had this one Reform rabbi, one Reform doctor in Chicago. I was at a conference. He loved it. He signed up. And then he called me. He said, my son's being bar mitzvah. He wants to do daily giving as bar mitzvah project.
Wow. And
he got, 10, 15 Reformed Jews from the synagogue to sign up for daily giving. That I love all Jews. I mean, it made me incredibly happy. So, you know, the majority of all the organizations are approved by rabbinical council. So they're all Jewish organizations, but they give to, like, United Hatzalah helps Palestinians. They help everyone, right? We have United Hatzalah. There's a plethora of our organizations do not just, you know, Kids Kicking Cancer is not just for Jews, you know, it helps other people. So they might've been started by Jews, all organizations, but they're not only helping Jews.
So let me ask you a question. Where you're at 11,000. It's an incredible number. You're really a hero. It's astounding what you've done. Again, you haven't taken a penny. This isn't your job. BRS doesn't get a penny. We're not promoting for that reason. It's an example of, you know, a real hero, somebody who can have an idea, follow through on it, and be a game changer, make a difference. 11,000 is a huge number on the one hand. On the other hand, and this is not a criticism, there's a question at the end of this. On the other hand, you could have the silliest, most ridiculous, most absurd Jewish video go viral with hundreds of thousands or millions of clicks. Why are we stuck at 11,000? You know, why is it that, you know, Jewish music superstars have millions of hits on the video? We all click that goes viral. How do we get daily giving? What is the biggest obstacle you face? What do you think is the number one reason that more people haven't signed up to give a dollar a day?
And you just got a big bump on Tisha B'Av. I mean, it went up.
Yes.
I noticed that, almost $1,000.
Project Inspire, one of our partners, our beneficiary organizations, they have a Tisha B'Av video every year. And they showed, we have a really nice video that we have. It's like a 3-minute video. And they showed it as like the trailer to their movie. And yeah, over 200 people signed up for that. And they did it for us last year. And so to answer your question, Rebbe, I think that, I used to discuss this a lot with Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein Zatzal. He was responsible for over 500 people signing up for daily giving. He would talk about it all the time, and he he would tell me, Jonathan, I just don't understand that same question. Why are we only at 6,000, 7,000? And I think the answer is that everyone, when they first hear about the idea, they instinctively like the idea. They're like, oh, I want to get a mitzvah. Like, it takes no time, no effort, and it costs a dollar. I get a mitzvah every day. Like, I love it, right? I think that in our society, we're so like attention deficit. Like, there's just too many things. And so if you don't sign up right when you hear about it, I've seen this 1,000 times. I went to APAC a couple years ago, right when we started. A couple of my friends, we went to APAC. We spent 2 days going around. We talked to 1,000 different Jews about, well, maybe they weren't all Jews, but we had 1,000 conversations, not handing out a card, 1,000 conversations. Over 100 people said, this is amazing. I'm going to sign up. But not like just to get me off their back. They were really into it. Out of those 100, more than 100, how many people do you think signed up?
9.
Pretty good guess. 6. Nine. 6 out of 100 that said, I'm going to sign up. And I truly believe that every one of them meant it when they said it. I think that if you don't do it right now, that's part of it. And I think the other thing is, I, through the years of doing this and seeing it, I think our Yetzer Hara is very strong. Hmm. I think that our instinct is to do it. Wow, that's so easy, so simple. And then a moment later, or like you forget, you might, A, you forget about it, but B, then also you start thinking, I go, well, but I give to my shul, and I give to my school, and I pay tuition, and I do give to the couple of charities I give to. I'm already giving so much. Why? What does my dollar mean? Like, it's a cute idea, but it's shtick, you know? And I think that the Yetzer Hara, I really do think that something with tzedakah, I think Hashem made it very hard for us to part with our money. Even though it's a dollar, it's hard to get people to take their credit card out of their wallet and give. And so that's what I learned over these last, you know, 3.5 years of approaching people and talking about it, is that people like it, but if they don't take action right then and there, they don't do it. So I'm so glad you reached out to me yesterday to have me on, because this is the perfect time. We see, like Rabbi Bari said, on Tisha B'Av, it's a big jump, because when people, it can be the same content, it can be the same message, you can say the same thing, but on Tisha B'Av or Elul or Seder Yemei Teshuva, we get big bumps because people like are much more inspired to actually take the credit card out of their wallet. So hopefully, I know you, this is a huge honor for you to have me here. And because I know you have a big crowd, I'm not embarrassed to say, I've listened to every single Behind the Bima episode.
Super fan.
When you asked me, to be honest, I'm like, wow, that's a super honor. And I was very excited and very nervous. And it's a huge opportunity, because I know that I'm right now, I said before, Hashem Sefsai Titap Viagi Tilasecha, like, please put the words in my mouth to inspire people to give today. When they hear or watch your, or listen to your podcast, this is my first time, I always listen to it. I know a lot of people watch it, but to just inspire people to take action, because I'm telling you, everyone listening, if you sign up for daily giving, I'm telling you, you're going to love it. The feedback we get from our givers is incredible. They love being a part of it.
What you said about the Yetzer Hara is really important, and it's a perfect segue, and it's why we're talking to you this time of year. Our Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah episodes are theme now for Elul. You know, I've said many times in our shul, and I learned this, it really had an impact on me. Why should it be Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah? I understand that if you tshuva, you undergo a sincere process of transformation. I understand you're deserving of a good judgment. I even understand davening, tefillah. Prayer is introspective, it's reflexive. You're changing yourself through that experience. You're more humble, you're more modest. You feel a sense of dependence on God. We're worthy of a new outcome. How does tzedakah work? Imagine you have a court date and you're scheduled to come before the judge. So you cut him a check? Credit card? I mean, today you'd Venmo the judge or Zelle the judge some money. But how does that work? So God's open to being bribed? That's what we said. Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah, right at the peak, Nesana Tokef, one of the most moving, stirring parts of davening. Scream out the chazan. Everybody yells out, Tzedakah! Everyone, write a check to the judge. Bribe the judge. We got to do whatever. How does that work? And it's exactly what you're saying. The answer is, you know, what we do with our money says so much about who we are. Milton Friedman, the great economist, used to say, you want to know what somebody cares about? Look at how they spend their money. So money is more than just something material. It really reflects our internal, our spiritual. What's our spiritual priorities? Who are we? What makes us tick? What do we believe? In Aramaic, the Gemara refers to money as dumim. Like dumb, it takes your blood, sweat, and tears to earn that money. And you don't feel, why do I have to part with it? So the answer is, come this time of year, it's not that we're trying to bribe the judge. It's trying to show the judge who we are, what makes us tick, what our priorities are, and that we're willing to share what the judge has given us with others, with in this case, the judge's other children. You know, the Rambam says, why is it called stucca? Stucca comes from the word tzedek. Tzedek means just, justice. It's entire. It's not a political commentary. It's a Jewish commentary that it's entirely unjust for me to have to give my hard-earned income to anyone else. Why should I have to give 10% of what I worked hard for to anyone else? That's not just. It's unjust. It shouldn't be called stucca, the Rambam writes. It should be called chesed. It's loving kindness. It's generous. So he says, no, you're wrong. That's if you believe it's really 100% yours. No one can obligate you to give 10% of it away. But if you realize that you're just a steward of someone else's money, that we wouldn't earn that income and it wouldn't be ours if God didn't grant it. And God says, if you have a broker, you give them money and they give you a return, you give them more money because you like what they've done. God gives us money. You give him a good return, he gives more. And the Rambam says, that's why it's called stucca. It's not unjust. It is just because it's not your money. God says, you're my broker. I'm giving you money. Invest it and spend it for my other children. When you don't, I'm not going to give you more money. If you do, I'm going to give you more. And that's just, it's tzedek, it's stucca. So that's why this time of year, and this is an incredible vehicle to be able to fulfill it, to be able to do it. So tell us a little bit more about you and this journey, because I think you're a great example of someone who has an idea. There are ideas that die at Shabbos tables. There are ideas that die on the pillow. There are ideas that die all the time that someone has, and they don't follow through. What do you think was the secret to your having the idea, reaching out to a bunch of friends, your web designer, and getting to the point of giving out $11,000 a day, millions of dollars a year? What were the most important lessons that you learned about following through on a dream?
Great question. I'm not saying this for the sake of saying this. I really don't think I'm special. I think that I have one really, really good trait that served me very well here, and is that I am extremely persistent, and I am. I just don't give up easily. I love Rabbi Pesach Krona has an amazing line. I don't know if you guys have ever heard it. It's great if I had the thing to draw, but it's an equation. It's SW cubed, right? It's an SW cubed over N, right? And it means some will, some won't, so what next? And I'm going to say it again because it's hard to count, right? Some will, some won't, so what next? And I think that it's such an amazing lesson in life across a lot of different things, right? But at first, I was so disappointed that daily giving was only getting dozens and hundreds and, you know, it was taking so long to get traction. But, you know, look, I'm a chiropractor. I'm a very medically oriented chiropractor. I have a lot of, you know, over 50 medical doctors send me patients. That's very unusual for a chiropractor. Most doctors say don't go to chiropractors, right? But I come from a family of all doctors, and I wanted to be a chiropractor. I wanted to help people get out of pain non-surgically without medication and kind of get to the root cause and fix problems. And there was a lot of naysayers about that. And it's like, okay, some will, some won't. So what next? You know, and that served me like getting patients over the years. I started my own practice, you know, 16 years ago. And then, you know, it's not always easy. And don't get your feelings hurt so easily. If someone is not right for someone, that's okay. There's lots of people that are out there that you can help. And so that served me really, really well with this, because I realized that some people, they don't get it right away. You tell them about daily giving. Some absolutely love the idea. They're like, what can I get for a dollar? But when I put it together with 11,000, in fact, Mishpacha, a magazine, wrote an article. Jonas and Rosenblum wrote an article a couple weeks ago about daily giving. So and it was really nice. And I really appreciate that he did that. And then this past Shabbos, someone wrote a letter into the editor, the letter was incredible. And what the letter basically said was, he said that he or she, I said RK, I don't know who that is, said what they love about daily giving is that when they give tzedakah, as someone who, whatever, everyone, we all give whatever we can, but it sometimes feels insignificant. You write a check for 180 or 360 or even 1800, and you're like, what am I really helping someone? And they're like, what daily giving does for me, I'm paraphrasing what this person said in the letter they wrote in, is that what daily giving does to me is it makes me feel like I'm having a serious impact. I'm writing an $11,000 check every single day. I'm having a serious impact. And so that's just another one of the many things that the daily giving has brought to people. And I just feel so, so blessed. I ask myself every day I wake up and I'm like, what did I do to deserve starting this? And I think I've thought about that all the time. And I think all four of my grandparents were Holocaust survivors. And I was very, very close with my Zaidi. And my Zaidi was a shamus. He was the spiritual leader of the Tremont Street Children in Cambridge, Massachusetts for over 50 years. And I had a very, very close relationship with him. And he was, just to give you an idea, when he died at 93. On what would have been his 100th birthday, hundreds of people gathered 7 years later to memorialize him. He was that kind of man. And he saved many lives, and he was makar of many Jews. And He loved all Jews, and I obviously Israel is very important to me, to love all Jews, and I love all types of Jews, and to be non-judgmental. My parents always were very like, don't judge anybody, don't judge any other type of Jew. We're all brothers and sisters, and so that was taught to me at a very young age. But my Zaidi, I think that I had the skills to start this organization because of my Zaidi. And back to your question, I just think that that's it, just persistence, you know. I truly do feel like we're just scratching the surface, and honestly, I'm frustrated. People say, "Oh, this is amazing," and I'm like, "Okay, it's fine, but we're just starting." And you know, look at Dafyomi, right? Like, look at how that blossomed to I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of Jews are doing Dafyomi now, right? Like,
right.
If 1% of all Jews gave $1 a day, I did the math, it would be over $50 million a year. If 1%, are you telling me we can't get 1% of all Jews to give $1 a day? I refuse to believe that. So,
well, first of all, we have 1% of the Jewish world listening to Behind a Bima right now. So,
yeah, so
we're just going to tell everyone right now. We're going to take a minute. We're not continuing until everyone signs up. So let's rock the world.
Dailygiving.org. They go on their device daily. Make sure
right
you
now,
say that.
Don't wait.
Make sure you say that Behind the Bima referred you. Behind the Bima built a bomb shelter outside Sderot. Behind the Bima, right. Just Shemitah on episodes. People listen, they're moved to act. Dailygiving.org. We want to hear some amazing stories. And let's start with one that's impacting us near and dear to our hearts. Rabbi Moskowitz wishes he could have joined us in this conversation itself. Unfortunately, you know, everybody knows by now that Rabbi Moskowitz is focused. His daughter Esther Tehila Bas Ariel Tzipora, she should have a speedy and a painless and a complete refuah shlema.
Right.
Focused on her health, her well-being, her recovery, and please God, we can't wait to welcome her back full steam, better health than ever. One of the things that we thought that we could do as a community to help the Moskowitzes in her merit, and frankly help ourselves, give us an outlet for wanting to help and really help ourselves by doing something meaningful. We launched a one-on-one campaign. We said to ourselves, what can people do? A small amount, small increments, right? The number one, I actually just taught a class last night, James Clear's book called Atomic Habits, the 1% growth. You change a habit 1% at a time and it compounds. So little increments. So we thought one-on-one, a minute a day of learning. And now there are 800, almost 1,000 people signed up on WhatsApp group for a minute a day Dvar Torah. Rabbis around the world record 1 minute and they're kept to it. When someone submits a Dvar Torah more than a minute, they don't get posted. A minute Dvar Torah a day, 1 minute. Who doesn't have a minute a day? A minute. Who doesn't have a minute? And a dollar a day. And you are our partner, dollar a day. And I'll share on his behalf, and I know Rabbi Moskowitz will say it himself, that they get a report of every single person who signs up for the one-on-one campaign, the minute a day of learning in a WhatsApp group, and the dollar a day through daily giving. And they're moved. They're moved to tears. Esti gets strength. And that impacts health. Literally, it impacts health. You know, you're the doctor, but we know the studies that say that when a person feels that someone's praying on their behalf or doing something on their behalf, and when a person feels the support and the strength, they actually medically, from a health perspective, do better. It makes an enormous difference to them. And we want to thank you for enabling us to partner so that we could do something and not just sit back and wish and thoughts and prayers, but we could actually one-on-one, minute a day. And for that, by the way, you could go to brsonline.org/one-on-one, brsonline.org/one-on-one. But you're our partner for that. So, you know, you could speak to that. Tell us other stories of people who've used daily giving to be able to feel that they're doing something positive in their life.
Yeah. First of all, it's been incredible to partner with BRS. And, you know, when someone signs up for daily giving, after you hit the final button, it says you received your payment. There's another page that says, do you want to make your donation in honor of someone? And so it's like you just said, it's been wonderful. Hundreds of people have signed up on behalf of SD and her Refuah Shlema, in honor of her Refuah Shlema for her. And a lot of times people give messages every time it mentions, how do you hear about BRS, is in honor of, you know, Esther Tehila Bas Ariel Tzipora. I take a snapshot of that and I send it to Rabbi Moskowitz, and it means a lot. It means a lot to them. So, that's wonderful. It's wonderful because not just now to talk more globally about other people, you know, people sign up for daily giving and it says, this is for a shidduch for this one, or this is for someone who can't have a baby, or this is, or some people say, this is in honor of Hashem, or someone is for honor of the Jewish people. Like, but I can't think of, I'm not thinking of anything like really spectacular. There've been some spectacular things that people have said, my donation is in honor of that. I should have written some down to have for this, but I'll tell you some other good stories, but that's been something amazing. A lot of people sign up Le'ilu Nishma, someone, which I to me, it really is such a beautiful, beautiful thing, because I remember a long time ago, like the first Pesach after we started, I was in Minneapolis for Pesach, and they let me speak about daily giving between Mincha Ma'ariv one night. And this woman came up to me. It was the rabbi's mother-in-law who was in from New Jersey. And she said, I want you to know that I came to shul tonight because it's my parents' yahrzeit. And every year I look for something to do for the yahrzeit, like something meaningful, you know, and you happen to talk tonight about this. And she signed up for a dollar a day. And I've subsequently seen her every Pesach, because she flies into Minnesota for Pesach. And she's like, she's the biggest daily giving fan. She's been giving a dollar, you know, the feeling, look, we all have parents, and mine, thank God, are healthy, and they should let me have a Srim Shana. But look, a lot of people have lost loved ones, and to sign up Li'ula Nishma, someone, a close friend of mine, unfortunately, Beth Goldsamler, who was instrumental, she started writing that the beginning of when we went live with daily giving, she wrote a lot of things on the website, and she passed away at like 43 years old a couple of years ago. So I give a dollar a day, hopefully forever, in Li'ula Nishma's Beth, you know? It's just another beautiful thing you could do that I think that, think about, you can't do a mitzvah after you die. The one thing it says you could do is you can give tzedakah for someone who passed away. So wouldn't that be amazing if we can get tens of thousands of people joining to be Li'ula Nishmas, a loved one? I want to share a story, a couple of stories, if you have time. You know, I wrote a couple times, just remember. But one story I loved happened. So there are lots of people that sign up for a dollar a day for everyone in their family. Like I said, it's just an amazing way to teach their children. But usually they'll sign up for $5 or $8 or $10, whatever it is, however many people in their family. And then they'll reach out to me and say, can you please add the emails, you know, my kids' emails? And we do that, and it's easy and whatever. So one day, someone signs up for a dollar a day. And then 5 minutes later, signed up again for another dollar, but this time with a different email address. And then 5 minutes later, another one, and signed up $5 a day with five different email addresses. I'm like, oh, he must have signed up his children. I see the names. They signed up for different people. He's just doing that. He just didn't think I could sign up with one, but he's going to get five different receipts. So anyway, I called him up. We try when people are, you know, we can't call everyone, but someone gives more than $2 a day, we try to personally call him, either myself or someone on my team. So I called him up and said, wow, it's amazing. I see that you signed up your children. We can consolidate that all into one account. And I said, how old are your children? And he said, 1, 2, and 4. Yeah. And I was like, 1, 2, and 4? He says, yeah. I said, can you explain that to me? He said, yeah. I decided I wanted them to have their Gmail accounts. So I made a Gmail account for each of my kids, so that when they grow up, they'll have their own name. I reserved their, you know, because by then every account is already practically taken. Okay. But I want them in 5, 6, 10 years, whenever they're going to open that email, that the only thing they're going to see is thousands and thousands of daily emails that they got a mitzvah every single day for years. I just telling the story, I get chills, you know, Mikam Chayisrael, right? Like, this is incredible. So that's one story I want to share with you.
That's an amazing story.
Another story happened just the other day, but I didn't tell anyone the backstory to it. I don't want to relate who it was, but someone I know well signed up for daily giving the first year, but like 8 months in. And it was someone in my original list of like 500 contacts that I sent about daily giving, trying to get them to sign up at the beginning. And she signed up for $2 a day for the year. Some people do monthly, some do. She signed up, she's single, she's like in her up mid-30s, great girl, and she signed up for $2 a day for the year. And I called her and I said, thank you so much. And I just said, we're, you know, friendly. So I said, by the way, I'm just curious, why did you sign up for $2 a day? And she said, I signed up one for me and one for my future husband. And she was engaged within a couple months of that. And so that was exciting. So I'm always trying to encourage Rabbanim and speakers to speak about daily giving. So I took that story and I told Rabbi Benzion Klatsko that story from Shabbat.com. And he's, you know, lots of things, but a lot of people know from Shabbat.com. And I told Rabbi Klatsko, and because he was giving a talk to many singles. And he took it one step further. And he apparently, I didn't hear this talk, but he spoke about not only giving a dollar a day for the person for the person looking for shidduch themselves, but give another dollar a day for someone else you know is looking for shidduch. And so Rabbi Klatsko texted me, like literally 2 nights ago, he texted me. He got a text from this woman. I don't want to say where it was from. She has a daughter, 29-year-old daughter. She's been davening for shidduch for many, many years, been dating for many, many years, having a lot of, you know, not finding her Pesheret. And she heard about daily giving from Rabbi Klatsko and gave a dollar a day for her daughter in honor of the shidduch, so her daughter can find a shidduch, and then another dollar a day for someone else to daven. And this was May 13th. And on May 20th, she met her chassan. And that just heard that story. So
wow. It's the biggest skula out there, dailygiving.org. That's the school. Yeah,
so that was another one. Another one I had happen is this someone signed up for $2 a day. Somehow like it failed when it signed up. It was late at night. I was still in my office. I was like, you know what? I'm going to call myself. I just called, and this young girl picked up the phone, and I said her name, whatever. I'm not going to mention her name. And she said, this is she, but she sounded like a kid. So I was like, did you sign up for daily giving?
You steal your parents' credit card?
Yeah, I signed up. She signed up for $2 a day, $62 right. a month. So I was like, oh, that's amazing. I was like, can I speak to your father? Is your father around? So anyway, I get on the phone with her father. She's from Cleveland. And he tells me that he uses this special credit card, something green light, green something, where he could put money on their credit card so that like – you could apparently with this credit card, this debit card, you could put a certain amount of money per month for your kids, and you could say they could spend this much on food, they can spend this much on gas, whatever they could do. And part of that is they have to spend a certain amount of money at tzedakah.
Wow, incredible,
right? And he's like, she wanted to sign up for daily giving for $2 a day. He said she wanted to do more, but I said just do $2.
Beautiful, such beautiful stories. So, Dr. Donath, how do you get it all done? You're a chiropractor and you see patients. I don't know what percentage of your patients who are in pain, it's because of stress that they're absorbing into their body. A lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, a lot of not taking care of ourselves well. So how do you not become your own patient? How do you balance family, daily giving, your own learning, all that you're doing? How do you have time for all? Can you give us any life hacks as a chiropractor, as a visionary? How do you get it all done in the day and not end up all wound up that you need a chiropractor to crack you open?
Okay. Number one, you marry an amazing wife. I'm speaking to shul rabbis. Let's be honest. You're asking me how I do it all. My brother's a shul rabbi. I have more of an inkling than most about that your jobs are 24/7. Tremendous amount of respect for what you guys do. I think shul rabbis just don't get enough credit for all you do. And it's a 24/7 job. You have to have an amazing wife, and I have an amazing, amazing wife, and I'm very blessed, and she's my partner, and amazing children. And, am I an absentee father sometimes more than I should be? Yes. But I do my best, and my kids are a little old enough now. They're very, you know, it's wonderful when your kid says they're proud of me, you know? It means the world, right? What can be more? So, it's a lot of work, but it's my passion. As you can see, like I thought I had my tafkid was helping people get out of pain, but I guess you can have more than one tafkid, you know, cause I feel that this is my tafkid to try and, you know, bring Jews together, to give together a dollar a day together. And, what more could Hashem want than all his sons and daughters giving to their brothers and sisters who are less fortunate every single day together? It doesn't matter who you are. I was at a Project Inspire convention and I spoke for 1,200 people there. And the next day at Shachar's, this Hasidic guy, I mean, payas down to his shoulders, comes up to me. He shows me the phone with the email that he signed up with, this huge smile. I was like, ah, it just made me so happy. And then, you know, like I said, I told the stories about my reform doctor friend who got his son to sign up and got other people to sign up. Like, you know, Mikam Chesra, like that's what we're here for, right? What can bring Mashiach more than all of us joining together and giving? So I don't remember your question, but I hope I answered it.
How you get it all done? How the stress?
That's one is my wife, and the other is don't sleep very much.
Do you see a chiropractor?
I have a chiropractor that works for me. And so,
he adjusts you?
He's always down the hall for me, and we work on each other, and yeah, it comes in handy for sure. And
if a person's not in pain, do they still need an adjustment?
Great question. I'm more of a pain guy. I don't treat a lot of well people. I was treating an NFL punter a while back, and he told me the story that I love telling, that he one time he punted the ball. He was at the time I wasn't his chiropractor at the time. It was a different chiropractor from another NFL team, but he punted the ball. Didn't feel like anything was off. Went in, happened to get adjusted, went back out and punted the ball 5 yards further. Now, in the NFL, that's could be the difference between he punted till he was 47 years old in the NFL. So you know, that difference. And he told me he went to chiropractor his whole career. So I've seen that. I treated, thank God, a lot of professional athletes. If you do talk to professional athletes, there's a chiropractor for every team. They're getting adjusted before games, because it does make your body work better. So the answer is, does anyone need it? Does everyone need it? Not necessarily. I'm very busy, thank God, with people who are in tremendous amount of pain. I specialize in herniated discs, and that keeps me very, very busy. Everyone could use it, and it could benefit anyone.
I won't say who. I know a big rabbi who, before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur every year, would go for an adjustment. Would see a chiropractor before big, like Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos Agadol, before Rosh Hashanah, would go see a chiropractor for an adjustment.
Amazing. Well,
punted it 5 yards further. Spoke 5 minutes longer. Kia Gadola lasted 30 seconds longer now, but
it's worth it. Important. You know, I'm just looking at your name. Has anyone ever pointed out that your last name is almost like donate?
Yes, I
donate
many times. Like,
really?
You know, it's like part of who you are. It's like the podiatrist is Dr. Foot, and you know, like the
right. dentist is Dr. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm just wondering, was there a point when you got started where there were a bunch of people that said, listen, it's a great idea, but it's not going to happen, you know, and how'd you overcome that?
Yeah, it happens a lot. I last night I spoke at the Karen Orr event. Karen Orr is one of our organizations. I don't know if you guys know Karen Orr. It's an incredible organization. They're not just, it's a school for the blind, but not just regular blind. They're blind and multi-disability children. And it's an incredible, incredible place in Yerushalayim. They take these kids from age 3 to 21, 11 hours a day, 6 days a week. And they do, these kids can't communicate. And they're sold this, what Karen Orr is, their mission is to help these kids who have like no way to communicate, just communicate. So I spoke at their dinner last night, and, you know, and afterwards some people came up to me, and I spoke to some people, and I had another, and one guy is like, I don't get it. Like, you know, I give lots of money to suck. I'm not, you know, just let these things like rush off, you know, it's not for everyone, you know, yeah. It's not for everyone. And that's okay. I mean, I feel like it's for everyone because I just want the octaves of everyone joining. Right. But whatever, it doesn't relate to some people. That's okay. Right. Some will, some won't. So what next? But
do you feel like, again, I know you can't prove this in one way or the other, but that it's more the, let's just say that not the major donors that are feeling more of an opportunity to be part of something bigger, as opposed to the people that do write the larger checks, which they're making a difference anyway, let's just say.
Yeah, I mean, we do have, like, sometimes a name comes across and I know it's a big donor. Let's say there's some people that give $18 a day, or one person gives $50 a day, you know. It does happen, and people, and there are people who, even very wealthy philanthropists who give tons of money, will give more, let's say, sign up for more. But the answer is, yeah, I think we're onto something in that respect too. I think young people get crowdfunding. Young people get crowdfunding. When we have a lot of college kids to sign up, or people, young people, and they sign up. And I feel really great about that, because I know I never knew I was going to be in the philanthropy world, but in the philanthropy world, when I speak to like really big philanthropists, one of the things they're most worried about is the next generation. They don't feel like that next generation is giving. And so when I go to Camp Hask and I go to speak in front of 400 Camp Hask counselors, even though like one or two sign up, because they're not making any money, right? They're college kids. I know that we're planting the seed that.
Hold on, can I just interrupt you? Then that's the only thing that they're not spending their parents' credit card on. But anyway, yeah, keep going.
It's very funny.
I did say that. I said, guys, I think if you sign up, I don't think your parents are going to be too upset at you. So, right. But I do think that's something that we're getting the young generation to find out about giving. We're exposing them to many more incredible organizations that they never heard of. We hear from other organizations that they're getting. Pantry Packers, Rabbi Traxler reached out to me and said that someone came to Pantry Packers, they heard about us through Daily Giving, and they sent him a $10,000 check because they heard about it from Daily Giving. I mean, nothing made me happier. So it's not just the money. We don't even know, you know, let's say around the $10 million we've raised so far. We don't know how much more we've raised just from introducing other philanthropists to these organizations. We've been told, you know, you're the charity navigator for you know, our guide star. You know, like, we take it very seriously. We vet these organizations very carefully. We want to have you know, we want people to trust that when we pick an organization, it's a really worthy organization. I'll just tell you one that maybe you guys have never, well, you probably heard of it, but it's called the Victor's Helping Hand. Have you heard of it?
I don't think so.
So Victor's Helping Hand was started, this gentleman, a Victor, passed away many years ago, and his family started it. And what they do is if someone, God forbid, passes away, let's say a husband dies, and the spouse doesn't have, they can't pay the rent or they can't pay their mortgage. They will pay the first 6 months of the rent or mortgage. And they also have another program that, let's say people die in a car accident and the parents are both killed. They will pay for their children's weddings. They don't pay. They fundraise their overhead completely separately like we do. So every penny donated to them, goes to the organizations, goes to the people that need the money. So, you know, I never heard of them when I started daily giving, and they were one of the organizations that reached out. Sometimes organizations reach out to us that I'm like, wow. I mean, you all know, right? There's thousands and thousands and thousands of Jewish nonprofits. And I think it's tens of thousands. I think in Israel alone, I think there's 30,000. So it's unbelievable the need. It's unbelievable what's out there. And we hope to solve a little teeny bit of the crisis, but hopefully by getting 1% and more Jews signing up, we're going to bring Mashiach and there'll be no
Amen, more. Which is a great way to leave it. You've given a great gift because you've created a platform to allow us to give, but you've also allowed us to diversify our giving. Because the truth is, even the people who claim that they're giving and who do give, if you look at the list of where they give, it's probably very narrow and very small. And maybe the priority of giving certainly is locally, but you've enabled us to also be diversifying the giving and to access organizations, like you just said, that we never otherwise would have heard of. And as a giver, to feel like that's amazing. I'm diversifying my giving.
I'm glad Rebbe said that. It's another thing we love. We call it a diversified portfolio of tzedakahs. And one person reached out to us and said, it was one of the biggest compliments we ever got. It said, you're my Olam Haba investment portfolio manager.
It's a beautiful
thing. Amazing. And I just want to say that I appreciate the opportunity and I appreciate all you do and your work. You've inspired me for many, many years and you inspire so many people around the country and the world. And you should have you should find a good chiropractor in Boca and you just continue to be able to be blessed to keep giving it, to doing what you guys are doing, because it's amazing. And also one more thing, because I get way too much credit. It's like the quarterback. Sometimes you get too much credit. I get way too much credit. There's a lot of people that are very humble behind me that do a lot of work. It's not a one-man team. We have a lot of volunteers from across the world. There's an accountant in Chicago. He will not let me mention his name, that has been doing using our failed credit cards, has been reaching out and helping us with that. Has been the head of our whole credit card retrieval part is this amazing Jew in Chicago that is an accountant that volunteers his time. And there's a lot of people that make this work. And it's not just me. I get too much credit. So thank you.
Thank you for having the dream. Thank you for quarterbacking. Wow. Thank you for following through. Thank you for partnering with us. Again, a reminder, if this conversation moved you, this is the time of year. It's Elul. I don't know. I'm not ready to go before the judge and not take care of his children. So you want to be able to answer the formula, tshuva, tefillah, tzedaka, and at least check off the tzedaka one, dailygiving.org, or help do it through us. Do it for Esti Moskowitz. Rabbi and Rebbetzin Moskowitz will get an alert. They will know that you did it. Imagine if after tonight's episode of Behind the Bima, dozens or hundreds of alerts come to the Moskowitz saying, we care about Esti, we're thinking about you, we miss you, we love you. And you can do that by going to brsonline.org/1, A-N-D, number one, one and one, brsonline.org/1&1. And you could really make that difference. So Dr. Donath, Jonathan, thank you so much for all that you do. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for being a good friend. And we look forward to watching that. I get the email too. Look forward to watching it rise every day. Can't wait to break 12,000, 13,000, 50,000, 100,000. Maybe by then BRS can get some, but 100,000 a day. We can't wait. But thank you for all that you do. Hashem should bless you. And all of us should be signed and sealed for a fantastic year. Amen. Being able to check off that stucca that we did, that we answered that call.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Wow. Rabbi Brody.
Wow. Wow.
Conversation. He really is a dreamer, visionary, took an idea, made it a reality.
I think that's the message, is that everyone, it doesn't make a difference what you're doing or what your day job is, you can make a difference in this world. So he did it.
I'm simultaneously inspired by him, but I'm also disheartened that there aren't more people. You think about, you know, a click, right? Because joining this is really clicking on something. People click. Tens, hundreds of thousands, millions click Jewish things all the time. There are podcasts, ours and others, that are listened to by thousands of people. Why are there only 11,000 people giving a dollar a day?
It's not even 11,000. It's less than 11. It's some people giving, like he said, $50 right. a day or $5
less,
a day.
But let's round up. Let's call it, generously call it 11,000, right? Just within, it should be every Jew, but the Orthodox community, think about the numbers. 11,000 is nothing. It's just the beginning.
And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people listening tonight that are saying, oh, it's a no-brainer. Let me sign up. But then you know what's going to happen? Then tomorrow's going to come and they're not going to do it. Just do it right now. Just do it.
I hope so, Pim. I hope people do it. I hope, you know, you could do it with dailygiving.org. You could do it by, you know, one-on-one campaign, brsonline.org/1&1. Number one, A-N-D, number one, brsonline.org/1&1. Minute a day of learning, dollar a day of giving can make an enormous difference. We heard from Abba Moskowitz. How great was it to see him again? We heard from him. We heard the difference it makes to him and to the Zrebitzin and to Esti. Every single person that joins, they know, and it gives them chizik. So let me ask you a question. If you knew that you could give a dollar a day to heal Esti Moskowitz, you wouldn't give it? You'd give $1,000 a day, right? You'd give it, so just take a moment and go and
take
sign
a
up.
Moment. And I think also, like, even in your Shemoneh Esrei, you know, there's the bracha Rafa'inu. And then in the art scroll, at least the one I'm using, it has this little addition you can add in. There's a little Hiratzon you can add in. It's so easy just to fly through that bracha, just like you do with every other bracha. But when you really take a moment to think about someone else, you don't realize, like, your tefillah, your one bracha could really, you know, push it over the edge. So
pause,
just slow
stop,
it down.
Think you got it. Right. Shiva South Florida launched. We'll talk about it in another episode. It's already late. I will just tell you, everyone should know the joy of you talk about having a dream and following through something Yeshmi Ayin, something that didn't exist and now it exists.
And it's real. There
was a Yeshiva of South Florida. Now there is. There are 12 Talmidim. There's 6 wonderful Kolol Yungalite, Kolol Avrechim. There's an incredible Hanhala, Rosh Yeshiva, Mashkiach, Rosh Kolol, Rebbe, amazing, amazing team in Nahal. And it's a pack based medrash.
So bring them all on here.
It's a magnificent, we're going to do an episode.
Live from Yeshiva.
It's a magnificent campus. Dormitory, beautiful, brand new, redone base medrash, chadar ochel, workout room, hangout area, outdoor turf canopy. I just got a picture of a shir being given tonight there by the Rosh Yeshiva with cholent or whatever else. I don't know what they're poppers. I think they were serving anyway. But it's there's real learning, really great guys. It's really something special, and we're really excited. It exists, you know. Even when you announce something and you believe in it. And you go recruit for it and you fight for it and you fundraise for it. There's always that little voice like, will it come together?
Right.
Will it exist? You know, if you build it, will they come? And they're here. And it's a big difference, please God, for our community, for Klal Yisrael. And I can't wait to share more about it. I'm really excited about it.
You know, it's really amazing. I remember hearing Rabbi Wein talk about how, you know, there's so many older Jewish communities, which eventually they turned over. They were Jewish and then they became non-Jewish. And they were saying how, you know, at some of these meetings when they're building new shuls, they would have like the Christian community show up to the board meeting and say, well, why are you guys here? He said, well, you know what? In 50 years, you guys are not going to be here. We want to be involved in the building plans because we want to make sure it's modified in a certain way. How many years did we drive down Palmetto Park Road? Right. We saw a certain building up there and we were like, what is this?
It's also somebody sent me a text. Our good friend Adler said, you know, it was Uri Pilachowski. He said, you know, you talk about the notion of like transforming, you know, this was, I don't want to knock it. I know many people were inspired there, but the Kabbalah Center is not exactly our way. Some significant hesitations, reservations we have about it and that space. But, you know, when they had a lot of money and they built this magnificent building, they didn't know it. They were doing it for us.
Right. That's exactly the point.
A powerful.
Some major celebrities were part of that original building.
They were. It's a really special space. Maybe we'll do on location and behind the Bima from there and meet some of the Hanhala and Kolol and see what it's really all about. But for now, I'll just tell you, super, really excited about it. I'm excited about Yeshiva South Florida. I'm excited about your new wardrobe, Charles Terwitt shirt. I'm excited about $50 million for Jewish education. Super excited to have been joined by Rabbi Moskowitz. We're excited that he agrees with me about Emma Watson. Emma, just send me an email. Apologize. Get educated on Israel. You were wrong. And there we go. We didn't ruin your vacation. We told it to you over behind the Bima. So it's great to be back. We have fantastic guests coming up. Should I give a little preview of next week's guest?
Go ahead. Let's go.
Let's put it this way. I'm going to give a little hint to next week's guest. Is you ready? Yum, ba da 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 dum, ba da 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 dum. You don't have to hear me sing next week.
Oh, it's very exciting.
Get ready for Elul. That's it. Get ready.
I'm ready.
Next week's guest. It's going to be great. And the week after that,
It's a big year.
And we're counting up to the 100th episode, which is really amazing. So good to be back together again. The band was back together for at least a little bit tonight. We're on our way. Hopefully we will be that way permanently.
I hope so.
Super exciting. Wishing everyone a great evening. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and stay holy.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Bima. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next week for another peek behind the Bima.